Thank you very much for tuning in.
Hi, this is Jeff Tweedy from Wilco, and you're listening to 90.1 FM Champaign, WEFT.
Programming at WEFT is brought to you in part by Minuteman Press. Whether you need signs for an event, thousands of full-color flyers, or personalized promotional items, Minuteman Press can make it happen in time and on budget. They offer an extensive line of products as well as design services. Minuteman Press may be reached online at cuprinting.com, in person at 905 South Neal Street in Champaign, or by calling 217-355-0500.
Research shows that mentors play a powerful role in providing young people with the tools to strive and thrive, to attend and engage in school, and to reduce risky behavior. Make a difference in your community by becoming a CU one-to-one mentor. Visit www.cu1to1.org or call the Champaign or Urbana School District for more information.
Recording.
This is Dave Monk, Prairie Monk, WEFT Champaign 90.1 on your FM dial. For the last 6 months, we've been talking about not-for-profit organizations, and we have been working with the concept of a retreat in the Monticello area. The flat land around is good for farming, but the Monticello area has a river which settled early settlers, and it has a moraine which gives a rolling territory, and has natural areas. And for eons, that attraction has been a popular visitation by people who are interested in what you do and what they might contribute to what they do. And tourism has grown popular, and people come to visit. There have been various add-ons. So you have this rather generous flatland retreat with the early settlement was with where the river was dammed a little bit and let the water run high and run a water wheel. That water wheel could be used to grist grain or to saw lumber. The village that was a surrounding was eventually moved to where Monticello is today. It's kind of a historic community, has a courthouse, and it's intact, and a square, and that sort of thing is an attraction. There have been other add-ons over the years. Some of them include natural areas like Allerton Park. More recently, there's a railroad museum. And so you have, as you think through the retreat area, you have an existing retreat with add-on attractions where people can come and visit. About 34 years ago, we bought 33 miles of railroad bed that was abandoning, and we did it mainly for for prairie, but also for trails, and for, in some cases, re-rails. We see this as a regional complex for an area that doesn't have a lot of recreational space, and at the moment we're working with Department of Natural Resources and others, and we have board members who are facing a little bit of invasion of our territory, but I want you as listeners to know, especially in the White Heath area, White family and the Heath family, it's on a moraine, so it's on a hill. It is right where the Railroad Museum has bought 7 miles of railroad bed, and they store railroad vehicles. But very few people know that White Heath will be a hub in the future. When railroads close out, they leave communities a little bit destitute, because they lose that traffic of the railroad, and the grain goes onto the road, and it's a different cat. So I'm wanting to have you to know that this third leg of ours, let's go back to the legs we have. One is for nature, and one is for historic trains into Champaign, and one goes west to Clinton, and so the one which I want to let people know about is from White Heath to Clinton, and it includes two state parks, Clinton Reservoir State Park and Weldon Springs State Park, two very popular communities or parks that are well used. So you have a 23-mile potential trail. And I want you to know that if we put in a rail trail, we will, those communities will be upgraded. They will enjoy that. There will be rural sociology that can help it. The Railroad Museum at White Heath has a Y, so you have a triangle where a train can be turned around, so that the engine will be in front. And that site is a hub. It's not easy to explain to people what a rail trail is and what it can do, but it can raise the awareness of people about their heritage prairie. It can give you recreation, and it can handle historic trains. This is thinking in terms of longevity. We're thinking in perhaps 200 years or 500 years, and we're thinking in terms of projects that might be here and now, or midterm, or perhaps even not at all, because it's not possible. But the skeleton is there for doing interesting things. And so my attempt right now is to dream, and that's what non-profit organizations are about. My dream right now would be to notice that ceramic engineers are discovering that the use of plant fibers, including hemp, can be much stronger, produce concrete-like polymers that puddle together with clays that have aluminum and silicone in them, and it makes for a tie or a pedestal or a building more permanent and stronger and more flexible if it has to move in the wind or if a railroad train has to go across it. The attempt is to dream and hope that this fundamental research gets to be applied. So we would like to think of white heath, and traditionally people have walked down the railroad bed to the Sangamon River, a very interesting place. It has a truss bridge, and people have helped to pay for that to be restored. The river has bottomland attributes, and the Cerro Gordo Moraine provides some upland dimension. In between, there are understory herbs that flower for a large percentage of the viable year. And the Department of Natural Resources has declared it a soil and water easement. And the 30 acres is in the care of the Forest Preserve, that's in perpetuity. And there has been a period when the railroad has grown over some, but we hope that one of the projects might be to take 1 mile of railroad down to the Shady Rest, so that people would have a niche experience from the Railroad Museum. There's enough open space that we could hold a Chautauqua of old, where politicians and others would come to speak. It would be a horse era, but as you have recreational vehicles these days that come and join together as an extended family, so in the past they did that too. So there's history there, and we'd like to have you know that. That history is accessible by embankments, so you almost can't have people walk down the right-of-way. It has to be on the railroad itself. There's adequate precedence for a train going down there once or twice a year and having it available for people to walk down to that site. The site is on two sides of a railroad that goes through the middle. The area was platted for a town that never happened. And we worked with a Price family who bought that land and used it as a retreat. They had little cabins there, and it was sort of family of mine coming together. And it has credentials that are valuable. So we see the possibility of taking polymer ties down there. It would take about 2,000 ties per mile, and it's just a mile. You have to go over a bridge, so something would have to be happening there, and with side rails so that people don't fall off, and there would have to be planks so that people would walk along and not be on slippery planks. But so we're thinking of a project that might include polymer activities that would come in perhaps 60 odd years. And we're aware that the there's a wind energy company that would, it's green energy, and their mission is green energy. And they have been working with Piatt County for perhaps 3 or 4 years to get permission to put in windmills on a slightly higher landscape of the Cerro Gordo Moraine. Most of the area that I looked at are in the northern part of Piatt County. They gather up the electricity, and it would go to a peaker plant, and it would go under or over Heartland Pathways as a corridor going west. We would like to involve the engineers, and so that they in 60 years might use in their pedestals hemp as a stronger, more flexible, and more permanent tie. We would have to raise the money to do that, but already the entrepreneurs are looking at a factory in Peoria that may be able to put those ties together. They're lighter, and they're don't involve so much EPA type materials, and we think that we would get funding for this. So what I want you to know is that not only Paitis as a hub would benefit considerably from this corridor, but the towns of going down to Shady Rest, Madden Creek, Lodge, DeLand, Weldon, and Lane, to another drainage basin area that has been dammed for the Clinton Reservoir, and it goes on to 5 miles of this corridor, joins the Clinton Power Plant Lake and Weldon Springs. When the rails were taken out, it was possible to bike or walk the 23 miles. Mayor McCollum and others have done that. It has somewhat grown over, and we do have some farmers who have bought land on either side of the railroad bed and feel it is their alternative to dig the bed up. So we have some challenge there. We've had to go to court to stop bulldozers and high hose from taking out the trees. The trees are not necessarily the prairie that we have wanted, but trees are attractive to people, and people like to plant trees, and trees like to plant themselves. Trees were in small groves on the river banks, where people would come up, especially in flood time, on the river and settle where Musgrave was, and where they had a water wheel. So uh, We want you to know about that, but it's not very interesting to be able to walk out there and go to a section road and walk in and find trees. If the trees are taken out, then there's a value to a tree. If you have a tree that's been grown for 34 years, then there's a value to every year the tree has grown. So you count the rings, and the value of the tree is according to the rings. So if we are successful in preserving the corridor intact, we will want to suggest some compensation for the removal of trees, and some compensation for having a contiguous biological area. We have the assurance from deed researchers that this is a the deeds are very good for us, which is what we knew when we bought the corridor, and worked with it for 34 years. We've paid taxes, and we have recorded the prairie that has been on it, and we are very jealous of the little pieces of green that are remnant prairie from 10,000 years ago when the glaciers warmed, the world warmed, and glaciers moved away. The area is between Lodge and the watershed that is dammed to provide the Clinton Lake is very flat, but if you're wise, you can find detail in small changes. 6 inches of change in the terrain may mean a change in species. So it's more exciting than you might think. But we don't have the opportunity usually to take you out and show you. Rather, we have to bring some of those things to you. That means we bring you them to you in media, in literature, and there's an excitement there. I've just been reading a book that we use to distribute information, and it outlines the fact that there's horizontal sedimentary rock that used to be under the sea, and it has lifted up, and so that sedimentary rock has been covered with glacial material, and then covered with luss, which is a wind-blown material that blows across the country and creates sand dunes and areas where there are different species again. And that sort of feeds into meltwater creeks and rivers like the Illinois River, and it involves mussels and fish that live in those areas. We've lost many of those because we put in 29 dams, and that changes the nature of the flow of water, so you don't have so many riffles. You have still ponds and some waterfalls and a different site. Fishermen like it because they can, right where the dam overflow goes out, there's food for eagles and other organisms, but also fishermen can fish there. So this is an exciting corridor. We want to bring it to you, and we need your help, because we need people who are media specialists who can do interesting things. One of the things we have to do is use a drone to travel the corridor so that we could then put the elements of that drone on the on a link and send them to you. Many of the people we're talking about don't always want to do that, but some of them are very much attuned to the fact that they have gone through the era of low cultivation, no-till, and they've sort of started that slowly. It took about 20 years to get to be happening, but that has helped to stop erosion taking farming material down to the Gulf and causing a hypoxia region that is making a dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico. So we're looking at people who have a knowledge of genetics. If we want to go one step further and create a soybean that is perennial so that we harvest it as you would alfalfa, then we have to have genetic material. If you want to have biochemicals for diseases that you won't know about for perhaps 200 years, then we have to have that. And we have to have the microorganisms that are in every spoonful of remnant prairie. They're not in every spoonful of regular farmland because we've sort of poisoned that population out. And, so gradually we talk to you about your relatives, where your family is buried, where your farming is, get to know each other and talk to each other and beg you to be involved. The White Heath is in the process of working on the 150th anniversary. So there's a chance to exhibit some of this material in the White Heath area. And the Railroad Museum is there. It has its own credentials, and we are hoping that we can all fit together, but it needs some homework to do that. We also have to figure out what we do to support our homework. We have to have some workshop place, some retreat where we can put together trailers that go to a July 4th parade. It's a lot of community work, but the reward has precedence across the country. We don't have very many long-term trails in the region that we're at, mainly because the soils that are underneath are very rich. So they're in agriculture. But this corridor to the west can be a recreational trail with, first of all, going down to Shady Rest with ties and a train. You would perhaps not ever go any further than that, but there are the possibilities of taking this sort of area so that you could go from White Heath to Lodge and then take a Norfolk Southern train down to Monticello and come back to Nelson's Crossing, which is the headquarters of the Railroad Museum. This was a hub for railroads. The main line probably went in the 1860s, 70s. An electric train went in when electricity was discovered, and that was more like the early 1905s, that sort of period. The Railroad Museum had an outfit in Champaign. It had a rail car and a Durst bicycle shop on University near to Goodwin. And the Durst family and the Scott family and others got together and they looked at the potential and decided to put in 3 miles of trackage on an abandoned interurban corridor. That was their excitement, their tourist attraction. They went up the hill on the Cerro Gordo Moraine and had a switch there so they could put the engine in front, but again, and then the main line closed out and they bought 7 miles of land. So the Railroad Museum stores rail cars for ADM and other organizations, and that's a cooperative venture. So you have not-for-profit people working with profit people in a cooperative venture, and that is intriguing to people who come to find out about Monticello. There was also a pepsin factory that took Seneca leaves and squeezed them to create an elixir, which was called Dr. Caldwell's syrup of pepsin. And that made his associate people, who he didn't want to be an entrepreneur, but his associates became millionaires. And so more recently, we have other add-ons, and this makes this area interesting and exciting, especially if you look at micro things. We hope that the wildlife corridor outside of Ellerton Park will be a biological rewilding. Over 34 years, the plant species have come up onto the railroad bed. We do not want to have a railroad recreational trail through the middle, because that's a dead certainty, and the research shows that, and we have a research paper that we promulgate, which indicates that rail trails through a prairie was dead certain to take out the small amount of prairie we have left. Let me say at this point that this is Dave Monk, your Prairie Monk, WEFT Champaign, 90.1 on your FM dial, and we're glad to have agencies next door like BWEFT and Banner Public Television who allow us to work with a very limited budget and bring information to you, and that's what we're doing now. So we have an imaginary project where we would like to have the railroad go down to Shady Rest twice a year, but we would use the same corridor for people who have for eons been walking down to Shady Rest to enjoy the wildlife, the bottomlands, the fishing, the uplands, just the biodiversity that you have there, recognized by the state, the Department of Natural Resources. When you get to the other end, at Clinton, you have these two state parks, and we have been invited to sell 5 miles of land there, a railroad bed, to the Department of Natural Resources for connecting those two state parks. And we had an appraisal that was twice that, and naively we declined to do that, but we have the credential that the Department of Natural Resources has been very pleased with that corridor and has done deed research that makes it the Department of Natural Resources reasonably happy that their corridor is intact, beautiful, and it waddles its way across the Salt Fork drainage basin and then up the Hensley Moraine and into Clinton. So what do we do to encourage you to listen? We have to find how you handle computer work. Can we give you a link? Can we have enough pizzazz ourselves to give you a computer link? We're currently working with Havana Public Television, and they're giving us a camera that will allow us to have a chip, and that chip we take out and use a Vegas program to put in maps and charts that help you understand what we're talking about. I might just offhand ask Boomer if he might add a word as to how he sees the Havana Public Television contributing to this natural area and your knowledge of it. So can you say something? Yes, he's not sure. That's I did that fairly quickly, but the Havana Public Television has been key to letting us get it out into the boondocks with information. And so your cell phone, your camera will be helpful. And to start this project going, we have to have an opportunity for people to walk down to Shady Rest. And there's vegetation growing on the bed. And so the project that we might find useful for the 150th anniversary is to have a group of people straighten out that corridor so you could walk down there with freedom on an embankment and walk across a trestle bridge, which is substantial, and be able to picnic or what have you on the banks of the Sangamon. Now, you have to think, where does the money come from? We are concerned that this is a corridor that's 23 mile long. It's in a region that is has very few rail trails. But we figure that it is worth the expenditure. The fundamental researchers probably have their own multi-dimensional money. You have the entrepreneurs who want to use the polymer ties have their interests. The wind farm people have their interests in future pedestals of concrete, which are stronger than the existing ones and more sustainable. We're just hoping that on the 150th anniversary, we'll have pictures and be a part of that celebration. We're not too far from Hickory Hill, and this is very close to Champaign. 15 or 20 minutes and you're into Champaign-Urbana. And then that can, if we're lucky, to join with a trail that goes from Urbana to Danville. That's a different story. Heartland Pathways bought a railroad bed because they were basically looking for the prairie. It was the Illinois Center owned, had strange thoughts about people who had no money to buy a railroad bed. And so we sat in the Prudential building for a time until eventually they decided to give us 6 months to get the money, which we did from many, many supporters. And so there's a lot of commitment to this corridor. The flatland retreat with three legs around it that contribute, and other contributions too. Right now, there's a sporting complex that is going in, it's 38 acres, and there's a library which has been donated over $2 million, and it has reconstituted, but it also has five acres of land which would be ideal for prairie work and allow people to see a prairie from the outside in, not through the middle of it. There are already road cuts that can be used and parking lots that are available. So you have access, you have 1 mile of reconstituted prairie adjacent to our railroad bed, but Fran Hardy has got from the Department of Natural Resources their plant area. They've planted just a sprinkling of grasses because they can dominate, but then perhaps 1,000 3-year-old plants and about 12 species, and that corridor has been growing for 34 years, perhaps, and it's a biological area where it has been extended some. In the process, an endangered rattlesnake, an eastern Massasauga rattlesnake, has been discovered, and it is in other parts of Allerton Park on other sides of the river. And so there is a genuine hope that there will be some rattlesnakes in our corridor. The Department of Natural Resources and others burn the corridor periodically to encourage the growth of prairie, and they've set traps to try and find the rattlesnakes, and it may happen in the future. We have been challenged to put in a rail through that corridor that will exterminate the wilding, so try to prevent that carefully, and there is a good common sense reason why we might work with the library and literature and let people understand the prairie that has been taken out in bulk, but many of the people do not know the individual species, when they flower, when they go dormant, when they can be protected by certain procedures. And so it's rather wonderful. And the leg that goes to Champagne, we hope will allow historic trains to go into west of Champagne. And it's out this corridor of 23 miles that we would like to encourage. That means we need some committees of people who have that interest. We need the workshop of people going, making the area down to Shady Rest available for enjoyment and natural history and genetic preservation. And we don't want what we are talking about to dominate, but we would certainly like to be there along with the Railroad Museum and all the hub activities that go on in White Heath. So some of you might just take your car and go to a section road and walk in. Go to Goose Creek, and Goose Creek was poorly drained, and it has some very deep drains, like 30 feet, and you can go there and look and wonder and stand on one of our railroad bridges and be adjacent to trees that have grown and have birds and bees and other creatures that you can't imagine. We've lost perhaps half our biology, but creatures tend to seem to survive. The insects included are tiny, almost microscopic, and they are pollinators, and they work with symbiosis, so that they sometimes will be sharing with a tree or another creature, and it's a sort of group association. And if you watch, you'll notice which trees survive because they have this symbiotic association. Both creatures get amino acids or food of various type and share without being a damage to each other. I would like you to go to Shady Rest. You can actually drive there. You go west on Route 10 and down to Shady Rest, where there's a new concrete bridge which has replaced the traditional steel bridge, and it's a parking lot. So you can walk in from that side if you don't want to walk down the railroad bed itself. So go there and see. Right now you have anemones and Jack in the Pulpit and trilliums and Lord knows what all growing in there in a forest situation. It's getting to the end of the spring season, but interestingly, some of these creatures keep going through the years or through the seasons. And we'd like you to enjoy that. So a little bit of a walk on the Shady Rest is tremendous. And it's relaxing. And just go there and have fun. And under the supervision of the Forest Preserve, which keeps it in imperpetuity. And the Forest Preserve has the right to ask for grant money and can put in trails that we could never put in because we didn't have that sort of money. What else can you do? Well, we look for the associations of this trail. The trail almost follows the aquifer, which is the Mohammed Aquifer. And so you have people who have worked with that and know that there are 80,000 people who drink from that corridor. And there's been a big argument about whether the landfill that's nearby and almost on top of the aquifer can take in polyvinyls, chlorides, and plastics that are deleterious. So there's been state and federal involvement to reduce that problem. And that makes an awareness for people who are prepared to go along with improvements and the removal of that sort of hazardous waste. We don't have in that area a park, district, or forest preserve, so that sort of thing is what you might want to encourage. Just along a little further, I happen to be close to people just recently, and they knew the day when I spoke at Lincoln and to a dancer who grew up in the Clinton area and owned land and had a 60-odd acre cut-over forest that she would like to see go to someone who had art involvement. Well, my attorney figured that Heartland Pathways could do that, and I could go visit Barbara Hammer and with a folio. And we did that, and I also visited her Frank Lloyd Wright building in Tucson, where if you enter the studio, you probably would be presented with a ball or a stick or something, and you were part of the dance. There were areas outside that had a desert or a lawn, and that Frank Lloyd Wright house was in jeopardy of being a highway. So there are those sort of things that crop up that make this corridor interesting. I suggested that corridor could go to the Nature Conservancy, but it probably wasn't pristine enough for the Nature Conservancy, and I think it has been given to the Grand Prairie Friends. The Grand Prairie Friends is a group that was established to be advocates for prairie, and they've done it very well. They have morphed into the forest some, and people like forests, and many of our river basins where they did have trees in groves and enough drainage that they did well. Once the drains were created and rivers were made to take water off the swampy landscape where prairie was, then trees could then grow just about anywhere because their roots were drained and that they needed. So we have crud species growing along the railroad beds, but they also are part of nature. And we cherish those trees and don't want them to be removed. So we put cease and desist measures on the activities that are in violation. So you might want to go there and check out the violation and who's doing it. It seems to be people who need a few more rows of corn and the convenience of taking heavy equipment across the right of way for almost commercial farming. These days, you have a hermetically sealed cab so you don't die of dust. You have a computer and you have apps that tell you whether you're, and maps that allow you to know the cation exchange capacity of the soil. That means how much a sand can hold compared with a clay. And you don't put excess on the sand that doesn't hold so many cations. You are working with Drummer and Flanagan soils, then you can put much more fertilizer there, and it all happens from your cab. It can be very commercial. The tractors are large. This last week, one early tractor, a Case tractor, that opened up the rivers to drainage, was bought for $1 million, the most that's ever paid for a tractor, but it will be an exhibit in the Case factory. I think we're getting near to the end. I do beg you to get involved, to spend some time with your 150th anniversary, and to relate to what you can do look at that corridor with five or six small towns that will benefit greatly if we put a rail trails through that area. And we're confident enough to really feel that it will happen, and that the public use and the relationship to the retreat area that's in Monticello will really make it. And we're working at it, and you have board members who are spending time and their own money to see that this happens. And it's very exciting to be almost there and have the confidence to say, we're going to make this corridor, and we're going to improve those little towns, or give them an interest, a restaurant here, a bicycle shop there, or other activities. And please think about it. Go visit if you can. And if we send you a Zoom article or something like that, please look at it and think about that corridor in the future for your generations in the future. Some things we'll be able to do quickly, some things not so quickly. This is Dave Monk, your Prairie Monk, WEFT Champaign, 90.1 on your FM dial, and with Banner Public Television in helping to record right now. Burima has come out with a camera, and that's what we're doing. We're experimenting. Thank you.
Excellent.
You are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, streaming live at weft.org.
I just want to remind you that we do have the ARS program, and please consider supporting the program you love. WEFT will gladly accept that vehicle you've been looking to get rid of. Our vehicle donation program provides an effortless option to support WEFT Community Radio. You can give CARS, it's called Charitable Adult Rides and Services, a call at 1-855-500-RIDE. So that's 1-855-500-7433. Or you can fill out the secure donation form at careasy.org. CAREASY. Just remember to designate WEFT as the nonprofit beneficiary of your gift. WEFT truly appreciates supporters like you. And that is true. We've had some people give cars, and it works out really well.
This is W.